Hi, ladies.
Hi.
Hello.
Welcome to Tea Time.
Oh, my goodness. Yes.
Danielle and Simone, you guys are here in the hot seats with us now.
These really are hot seats. I never am in this seat. We're usually the ones asking the questions, so this is out of my comfort zone.
Oh, we've turned the tables on you guys.
Welcome.
How does it feel?
Well, I feel like the title of your podcast means it's time to spill the tea, so.
Yes.
You guys, lots of tea. I want to say something really quickly before we dive in. I noticed that we're both interracial couples.
Yes.
We have it in common. I just want to say that.
I was like, what? That took me a second.
That took me a second, too. I was like, oh, wait, this is not that kind of...
No, I know. Understood. But, oh, hello, Quinn.
Oh, Quinn is here, as usual. Oh, you know,
Quinn
is here.
I think he wants to come up.
He can come up
Tell
if
him
you're
up,
okay
up.
With that.
Up, up.
Yeah. You have to jump. You have to lift him.
You have to jump, Danielle.
It's like his question. Yeah.
You have to jump.
You have to jump. Yeah.
So cute.
Hi.
The minute the cameras start rolling. I know.
He does. He likes you.
Is your kisses.
Quinn.
Okay, Quinn. Ooh, he loves you. Hey.
Quinn,
just for mommy. Those kisses are just for mommy.
I can't kiss the dog, but I will hold.
You can hold
the look. Yeah, the ensemble.
Oh, man, Quinn.
Ensemble.
I hate this.
It's fine.
This drives me crazy.
I feel like this is the warm family welcome.
It is the warm family welcome. Yeah, you just have to embrace it.
It actually drives me crazy. I find it distracting. I want him to be in his spot and stay. So say hello, Quinn.
And I don't.
Woof, woof. Bye, boo boo. Come here, pumpkin.
We have that in common, and clearly that means that there are differences between you two. What are some similarities and some differences between the two of you?
It's really funny that you ask that because we talk about this all the time.
Really?
We're almost exactly opposite in every way, I would say.
But we have some core similarities, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Name them.
We both live in Los Angeles. No, I'm kidding. I actually think that we approach some of our work and conversations in the same way. We're interested in a lot of the same things.
Okay.
We have, so On the Bright Side, which is our podcast that we co-host, we have a lot of interesting guests, everyone from you to wellness experts and authors. And I find that we're interested in some of the same conversations.
Yeah, I agree. I think we're both value-driven. We're curious about life. But I think... we're really opposite. I think that's maybe why Hello Sunshine like put us together.
Yeah, you have to have not conflict, but contrast.
Yeah.
Here's the deal. As somebody who works
Here's
the thing. Mm. Here's the thing. I've worked with a lot of ladies as, you know, partners in crime. I work with my wife. It's about the relationship off screen.
Yes. Yeah.
That really does bring the relationship on screen.
Yes.
So you're at a restaurant. You're about to order for her and you for her. What are you guys getting each other?
Wait, I love this question so much.
I feel like I'm easy. You're maybe a little harder to figure out.
Really?
Yeah. What would you order for me?
So she's an Aperol Spritz girl.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
And she actually taught me about the amazingness of an Aperol Spritz.
Ooh,
I didn't know before.
It's delicious.
Simone.
It's delightful. Yeah. And it instantly makes me happy.
Really summery. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Very summery.
And then I'm going to go with the Branzino. I feel like you love a nice fish.
I do. Ooh, I do love a crustacean. I love a sea creature.
And you're maybe touching the bread, but you're not ordering dessert.
Oh, no. Well, you got to catch me on most days I'm ordering dessert, for
really?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like a chocolate or a sorbet?
I love a tart. I love a French tart or sorbet.
Yes.
Something. I'm a fruity gal, so I like my fruity dessert.
Your tart.
Like I'm a Sour
fruit
Patch
tart.
Girly all the way.
Wow.
Those who eat Sour Patches. We know what else happens.
What?
Why?
I'm sorry.
Are you not from Cali? This is not a... This is.
Oh, no. What
that's only a Cali thing?
What happens to
we
Sour Patch Kids?
We are from...
Those who eat Sour Patch Kids know how to roll up. That's not a thing anymore?
That's a thing?
Is that?
What is that?
Oh, that's
funny. My wife
funny.
Is like, what are you talking about?
I'm from LA. I've never heard that in my life.
Well, that's what I know to be. If you eat Sour Patch Kids, you know how to roll up. I'm just saying, what are you ordering for her?
What is something for today? Her?
Wait.
Well,
I'm excited.
I want to just understand. Sorry. If you know how to eat a Sour Patch Kid, which is a single...
No, if you eat Sour Patch Kids.
Oh, if you eat them, then you're just high?
No.
Is it the sugary crystals that you have to lick off your fingers?
No. Everybody that I know that eats Sour Patch Kids have smoked weed. I didn't know I had to say this, so...
It's like a vibe. Like, what I'm thinking is, like, people who skateboard.
yes, they are obviously in JNCOs and a chain hanging down. It's called...
Got it.
It's called overgeneralization of a human being.
Understood. A stereotype.
I'm Never heard of it.
Literally stereotype.
Okay. Anyway.
Okay, what am I going to order for you? Well, I don't know. Let's see. Is Danielle feeling a little spicy? Is she going to get a few margs like we had the other night at that event that we went to? Or is Danielle going to be a good girl the day before work?
I'm going to be a good girl.
She's usually a very good girl. Okay. So let's see. What are you? But you eat anything.
Yeah, I do.
Maybe a pizza. I don't know.
I love a pizza. I'm from Chicago, so I love a pizza.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Hamburger,
thick and
chicken.
Thin crust?
Yeah, I eat any. I love food.
Okay. We share food all the time, too. Basically, it's me eating her food that she brings to the
office. I was going to say, share your food.
I make you food, too, though.
That's true. Aww. She's brought me, like, Chex, not Chex Mix. What was it called?
Puppy Chow?
Yes.
I love Puppy Chow.
She made me delicious season. With the granola. And yep. Yeah, it was really good. She does bring me food.
So you guys
but
are
she'll
a
eat
couple.
My other half of the sandwich.
We are a couple, totally. We bicker like a couple. But what about how we're opposite? Yeah. How are we opposite?
Well, I'm dating. She's not.
Hilarious. Okay. Start there.
So you're married?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I've been married for 82 years.
82?
Yes.
She's not even lying.
I was a child bride. I got married at 22.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. We have two beautiful kids.
How was that? Child bride.
You know what? It was my choice. I think that...
It was my choice. I would have hoped it was your choice.
No. It was my choice.
What state did you get married in?
Right? So it wasn't a true child bride situation. It was my choice. I think that we were just really in love. And we were like, I had dated a lot of lemons before. And I was just like, once I knew the caliber of man that I could find and that, you know, was right in front of me, it was such an easy yes. Mm-hmm. But I also, I mean, if you want to get really deep, I grew up in the Christian church. And there is this culture of like... you get married as soon as
you
get out of college or like find that godly man. And so, you know, I'm on my own personal journey of like figuring out what my faith looks like to me now. But that's definitely some context there.
You did find a godly man, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it's cool because we're both unpacking our spirituality together. I'm grateful that now we are at a place as people who have come out of the church where we can acknowledge the parts of it that need to be improved and healed and addressed and accountability needs to happen.
Oh, not the squid face. There's a whole other question.
Accountability needs to happen.
Jesus. No, very real.
And I feel lucky that I'm in a community of friends where like we can have these conversations and talk about God. And that's something we talk about spirituality too.
Yeah, we talk about religion a lot.
Are you religious? Are you spiritual?
I am spiritual. I'm Jewish. And so... it's sort of like a ethno-religion, so we talk about that a lot. We talk about race. I think we're interested in identity.
Mm. Yes.
Mm. I would say.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
That makes sense.
You guys like identity or what? Y'all into identity?
We have a Jewish Italian, and we have a Christian Black person.
Yes, biracial Black woman.
Biracial Black woman. The conversations there is a fueled sense because there are... areas of challenges within both of the cultures. Mm-hmm. Where do you guys find a happy medium for your conversations?
Oh, I love that question so much. I think we both come from a place of curiosity. Like, we are journalists, and so there's not a lot of like judgment or criticism. It's more asking questions. Mm-hmm. I also date people of all ethnicities, religions, races, and so I think we've had like a lot of crossover in that. Can I say it? You're in an interracial marriage, and so I think like I'll ask her questions, and like I think there's a lot of curiosity.
I think that's fantastic. That's
did
the best
you two
way to be.
Know one another before the podcast?
No.
Or
we did not, but I will say we have a few mutual friends actually, and this one mutual friend last summer was like, hey, I know I've been talking about Danielle for years. I really want you to meet her. I know that you guys would hit it off. And at the time, we weren't able to link up, but...
I think you had just had your second son.
Yeah, it was not a good time.
Yeah.
But a few months later, I had this meeting with Hello Sunshine, and we hear about this project that's bringing us together. And we were like, wait, I know of you. Oh, it's so cool that we're getting to actually work together.
It felt like a small world.
Yeah.
Some serendipity.
The best friends that I've ever had, I've had from work, because we are going through the trenches together in so many different ways. But that's so I love special. That for you, too.
Do you feel like you pick up friends from every job you've had?
Without a doubt. And I'm also the person who picks up friends from behind the camera. Mm-hmm. I have friends that are cameramen, sound guys, always wardrobe, because, honey, I'm always in wardrobe. And I find that
that's cool.
Like-minded people, for sure. And it's interesting because outside of set, I only really dated people in the music industry. I never dated in the acting industry, which was like so weird to me.
Why?
I'm still trying to figure that out. I'm happy. You know what I mean? She wasn't in either. But like, it's interesting how you can really connect to a certain type of person/industry. So as you're dating now, like, what kind of industry guys do you go for?
So as you were saying that, of course, like, we're all so self-involved. I was thinking, I really only like to date entrepreneurs. No. And it can be across industry, but I like self-starters. I love that fire. I love the ambition. I love, like, the risk it all mentality. Like,
you want someone to risk it all for you, don't you?
I do. Yes, like, bet on yourself and then bet on me.
I love it.
Hilarious. I'm never letting you live that quote down.
I feel like it's
bet
like,
on yourself and then bet on me.
Truly. No, okay. I was actually talking to my dad about this last night. I think it's the greatest compliment in the world for somebody to say, I would bet on you.
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah. Sure. It's so, like, it's concise, but it means so much.
It means so much because when you don't pull up with those, you know, double aces or pocket kings, you really got to make sure that love is there, girl.
Not the pocket kings.
You really got to make sure, you know
it's
what
true.
I mean? When I'm betting on you, I'm putting my money in it. I get it. I love it. I bet on babes.
Yeah.
I bet on Miranda. That's babes for those who need a key. Mm. I bet on her all the time. And I think I bet on her sometimes even more than she bets on herself.
Whoa.
Mm.
Is that fair to say?
Mm. What do you mean by that?
She's like, no.
Yeah, what do you mean by that?
What do you mean by that?
I mean by that I'm more of a champion of her talents when she is more of self-critical and like pushing down on herself. And I'm like, no, actually, you can claim that title. Well, I haven't done it, so I can't claim it. I said, you have done it. You just haven't done it at the level that successful people have done it at. But that doesn't mean that you can't claim a title just because you're not fully successful in it.
Mm.
I fully believe that. I believe that she's a writer and a producer and a creative. And like, I'll claim a painter even though I haven't sold anything or I'm not as successful in it. But that's what I am. And I think it's important to know all the facets of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I bet on at least three of them facets for her. You know what I mean? Like,
I
not
know
all
what you're
in,
saying.
But
I know
definitely
what you're
50%
saying,
of the bet.
I know what you're saying. But I think that why I sometimes have pushed back on certain things is because you might not be a painter who's sold anything, but you paint regularly.
Right.
I have an issue claiming myself as a writer, like introducing myself as a writer, because I don't write consistently. Now, that doesn't mean I'm not
texting me all day.
That counts.
Okay.
Especially
okay.
If they're long.
Okay. But it doesn't mean I'm not a good writer. I know I'm a good writer, but I'm not doing my writing as a practice enough so that I'd feel comfortable introducing myself to random people in a professional setting and say that this is what I am. That's where. But you are my champion. You do bet on me, and I am very hard on myself. So thank you, babe.
I feel that so deeply. When I moved to LA like 11 years ago, I didn't know anybody. So I would meet new people and they'd be like, oh, what do you do? And I would be like, because I wanted to be a TV host. I had not been in one thing. And so I knew the follow-up question was, like, if I said I'm a TV host, they'd be like, oh, what have you hosted? Anything I've seen? And I'm like, I don't know. Do you watch a random YouTube channel in your grandmother's basement? Because otherwise, no. Nothing.
Yes, right. Yes, I do.
No?
You never know.
But I think it's different now. You are doing it at a level.
Yeah. I mean, I think I have that same feeling, though, even now when someone asks me what I do and I'm like, I don't know. I don't know if I say podcast host or I have a production company or I'm a creative or I'm in the entertainment industry. I don't really, it's kind of difficult to fully answer, but when it was
You're so hyphenated, when you're so backslash.
When you have as many jobs as I have,
it's the only way to be.
When you're just a multi-hyphenated. Yeah, exactly. That's how I'm just going to lead with that. I am backslash all the way through, so I can't even tell you what I do.
That should be the new term. Yeah. I hate the term multi-hyphenate for some reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm backslashed.
That's kind of sexy. It is.
Hashtag backslash.
But here's my question to you guys. You both are journalists.
Yeah.
So did you not ever feel like that was just the answer? Like, no.
Not for me. Did you?
It was the answer until it wasn't.
And where did the journalism start? I mean, is that like the major in college and then you're doing the news or?
Yeah. Yeah. For me, that's how it started. It really started in my living room watching Oprah and Katie Couric and just being completely enamored. And my mom was an actor. And so I kind of grew up performing and in theater, and I was like, all right, let me give this journalism thing a shot. I feel like I could handle this. Went to college, started working in local news, and then basically local news, you just kind of like grind your way up to the highest market.
Yeah.
So I went as high as I could go, higher than I ever thought I would go. And journalism was my dream job until I had kids and was like, you know what? I don't know if this is sustainable with the kind of mom that I personally want to be. And that's when I decided to just have more agency and freedom over my career and be self-employed.
Explain to someone like me who only looks at television and didn't really go to college to pick a major.
Yeah.
What technically is journalism?
That's a great fucking question.
What is it? Like, how do you actually define it?
How do you do it?
Yeah.
Well, I think in most schools, there's two wings. There's print journalism and then multimedia journalism. Print journalism, like, you learn how to write a magazine, basically.
Okay.
Like, how to write a column, how to be an editor, how to graphic design, how to lay it out, etc. And then for multimedia, you start to learn how to write stories. So you'll be like, I'm at the Capitol in UW-Madison, and here's what's happening today. And, like, you look back at your tape, and you're like, I was horrible, and you thought you were so good. And that's the best part, is I really think that it is, like most careers, but particularly with TV news, you have to believe you are so much better than you actually are in order to pursue
it. Isn't that entertainment in general?
Oh, yeah.
And is there a facet of communications that's in journalism then? Like,
yeah, it just depends on the medium that you pursue. Like Danielle was saying, I've only done broadcast TV journalism, which is all communication. But there are other forms, too. And now it's like a whole, you know, there's all different types of journalism.
Because I remember when I went to I remember when I went to college. Yeah, I have to go real fast with Raven.
Yeah, because I got questions.
She's chomping at the bit.
I got
gives
questions.
Me so much. I remember when I went to college for 2 weeks and I was thinking I was going to major in communications.
That was the wrong time to sip my water. Sit my tea. So,
I was like, I think I'm going to do communications, and I have no idea what it means now, even because I couldn't find the creative writings major. And
okay, back to journalism.
It like includes TV criticism and stuff.
Yeah,
okay, it's interesting. Okay.
So what you guys explained to me is, like you said, magazines, the New York Times, the New York Reporter. You have Katie Couric. You also have like a Montel.
Al Roker.
My wife has a story about Al Roker. We're going there. But my question
to
you
Al
is.
Roker.
For Halloween. When you are in journalism and you want to major in journalism, you must have some, I'm just going to say this, give a fuck attitude about other people and the things that they're going through, because I really don't care.
Yes.
So you must care a lot.
She doesn't care at all.
Like, I don't.
You but don't also, get, you degaff?
I literally degaff on everything, and I just stay in my house and paint.
Doesn't feel.
I'm
and
so jealous.
Yeah.
She would never
you guys
wanna,
care
like,
too much because you're like, I'm a journalist. I'm like, I'm going to sit my ass at home.
So, like, when I moved to LA, I was in entertainment news, and that's why I couldn't claim journalist, because I was like, I don't know. So,
you were like reporting on like Jen and Ben.
Yes, I actually went into local news after that, but I started in entertainment news, and I saw, wait, what was the point of my story? What did you say?
That you care about- a fuck.
Oh, okay. So, I'm doing, thank you, I'm doing a red carpet.
Mm-hmm.
Wearing probably the ugliest red dress A-line that I've ever seen. I have photos. I thought I looked so good. I looked down at the carpet, and I was at the very end with, like, the worst media outlet. At the very front, where they have the best media outlets, is this guy from ET Canada, one of the most talented TV hosts I have ever known. Mm. And I'd never seen him before. I watch him do his stand-up, and I'm like, first of all, he's so good looking. I didn't know they made people that look like this. Like in Chicago, they don't.
That's fair.
Okay, so I come here and he doesn't care. He's so easy breezy. Mm-hmm. And I run up to him and I'm like, "Can I please take you for coffee? I need to learn from you." And he was like, "Relax."
Aww.
Like, sure, I'll help, but like, real chill.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's when I learned that I give a fuck about absolutely fucking everything.
Hilarious.
And I'm never going to be the person who degaffs. And I really wish I could in my 30s. I've been trying to degaff more and it's just not who I am.
But it's not. But look where it got you. You had the balls to go up to someone because you saw, I guess you saw what you wanted for yourself and go get it. That's someone who has to degaff. I'm learning that way compared to me, who's like, I look at that person for something that I want, and I'd be like, damn, I should have made
you feel jealous.
I'm just jealous, kind of. And then I'll go on YouTube and try to learn it, but not actually have the balls to go up to ask somebody. So, but you need that gumption for what you do. And I'm just saying that because I applaud you for it.
That's
so
super
we
kind.
Need people in the industry who degaff, because who don't degaff.
Who gaff.
DDGaff.
But I think take it a step deeper.
Just gaff.
I do think that we're in different positions. And so I think if you went up to somebody randomly, it might be weirder than if I did.
Touché.
Do you know what I mean? And so there's like privilege both of us and like disadvantage. It's very strange.
It is strange, but I appreciate it.
Do you guys feel like journalism on an overall is kind of is reporting more negative than positive
recently?
In general. I just mean the job in general.
Yeah, fact you can turn on the news station and there's like all kinds of crazy things.
Well, I just feel like people want more salacious, more more gore, more. And I feel like journalism and news is basically that. And being in that world, you must feel impact of it, I assume.
Yeah, for sure. I worked at MSNBC and I felt that way all the time. I mean, the news was on constantly in our offices and I loved the opportunity that I had to like learn from some of the smartest people in the field. But I couldn't shake this sense every day that I had when I would come home from work that was just really taxing and toxic. And I was working there around like 2020 and leading up to 2020. So you can imagine the vitriol is just continues to ramp up. And unfortunately, fear is just what sells.
Yeah.
That's what keeps the lights on. But we have control over it as viewers and listeners. There are so many different places we can get our news now. Yeah. And if you need a little mental health reset, turn off the damn news.
Yeah.
Turn off the 100%. News. Take it off your phone. Like, you can find news and get informed other ways.
You know what's hard, though, is that because most journalists I've ever met gaff so hard, that they really internalize the stories. And so, like, if they're covering a shooting, they're going home and, like, they're not okay for weeks.
Yep. I mean,
and they really care. And so most of the journalists I know are, like, really amazing people, amazing journalists. It's the system of the network that is so toxic.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's messing everything up. And really, it's advertising.
I was about to say, it's money. You have to sell.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But you need those people. You need the people out in the fields reporting so that the people that don't, that degaff can know what's going on.
Think about that. I think about those people who are there on the front line, so to speak, and reporting such intense things. And they also, for the most part, seem to keep such a neutral.
Yeah.
You know, they're not reactive. They're just there giving you the news or giving you the weather. And that's the hardest, I think, actually, being like in the middle of a fucking tsunami and you're like being wind whipped and having to also be like, well, winds are really picking. No shit. And then we can see the winds are
picking. Can you tell me more about this weather fascination you have? Do you really want to be Al Roker?
Yes, oh my God. Literally. She wanted to dress up as Al Roker for Halloween one year, and her parents, thank God, told her no.
Well, I was wondering, how is that going to work?
I was young, so I thought it was very
clever.
No, babes,
this was last year. Yeah, no, okay.
It was last year. No, I was young, and I was under the age of 7, because I remember pitching it to my parents and basically saying, like, Dad, you're going to be Matt Lauer. Mom, you're going to be Katie Kirk. I'm going to be Al Roker, and we're going to be the Today Show.
Because what she really wanted to say was,
and here's what's happening in your neck of the woods.
Oh, when she walked up to get her candy.
Of course.
Because I thought it was
so
great.
Cute and funny.
Yeah. And I just thought he was so kind, and I just loved that show for whatever reason.
So we have some calls out to Al Roker so Amazing. That he can get so she can get his blessing to dress up for him.
But literally though, my dad was like, you can't do that. And I was a kid who did what she didn't take no well, did what she wanted.
Still does.
And he finally had to look at me and explain to me like what blackface was and why it was inappropriate for me to like actually like want. And I was like, all right, whatever.
Yeah,
like,
you got a good
five
dad.
Years old.
Yeah. You got a good dad.
As a kid, when you admire someone, it's really confusing. Like, try to tell a little boy that he like why you can't dress up like Michael Jordan.
Right.
It's really hard.
Yeah,
it's hard.
I know.
As young ladies.
Yeah.
Who were you dressing up as for Halloween?
I actually think this says a lot about your personality.
Yes, it does.
So I need to know everybody's.
Done.
Okay. You have to go first.
Yeah.
Okay, I was always like a Xena warrior princess, like military, I was G.I. Jane.
Yeah,
I was Britney Spears one time. But I always wanted like a very empowered woman.
Love that.
Who could like kick ass physically.
Okay.
Yeah, thank
you
so much.
You are. I love that.
I love that for you. Let's see. I definitely fell into the Disney princess trap a little bit, but we're not going to hold that against me.
No, not at all.
Yeah, we loved some Jasmine because she was the closest
I was just
thing
gonna
that
say,
we
you
got.
You give Jasmine. There you go.
Wow.
Thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah, even right now.
That's
yeah.
Wait, she's that's giving like Jasmine. The greatest compliment ever.
The girls in college that dressed up like Jasmine had the best abs. Like, I could never do the two-piece costume. I had to do the one-piece costume.
But I similarly had an obsession with Joan of Arc and heroine figures like that. So I definitely had like a Joan of Arc period.
That's cool.
Okay.
Really, like, super niche.
Listening
super
to voices.
Niche. I love that. And fighting. Yes. Mental health issues.
Yes,
okay.
Exactly.
Babes, we know what you wanted to be. You want to tell them your other Halloween costume?
Yeah. So I kind of had...
Yeah. Well, our listeners already know, so...
They do. Sorry, you guys. Here's for repetition.
Sorry.
Cheers to repetition. A bride. So I was a bride for a very long time.
Because she couldn't be
Al Roker. From like 3 to 6.
Wow.
And then...
Like a bride or like a bride of Frankenstein?
No, just like a bride. Like, and it got really boring. Like, I was super over it. Wanted to be Al Roker. Couldn't. And then I think I gave up. I just stopped. And then...
Because there's only two choices out here in this world.
I got into like... I started to like clever... Halloween costumes. Like, I'm a pothead and I would just have like a pot on my head.
Those are so good.
Yeah.
I saw one girl in a slip dress and she wrote Freud on her and she was a Freudian slip.
Hilarious.
Yeah,
that's
genius.
A good one.
And we went to a Halloween party 2 years ago and I was morning suck. And so I was like in a bathrobe, but I had fangs and she was, it's all Gucci and literally wore all
that's
Gucci.
Amazing.
So.
And then my favorite costume, which we all know, is remember the movie. Remember the cartoon Real Monsters?
Mm-hmm. No.
On Nickelodeon?
It sounds familiar.
It
what
was
did
a
they
little,
look like?
Okay, so
was
one
so
was
bad.
A big flesh-colored square with his hands above his head
with eyes. With the two eyes.
With the two eyes and the armpit air.
Yes. Yes.
I was literally that.
And I
put fart smells underneath my armpit.
Ew,
really.
Raven.
I know.
Listen, you guys, I'm a lesbian.
What? Don't say that about being a lesbian.
Yeah.
I'm just fart saying, smells on your armpit.
No.
You guys, I'm a lesbian.
No,
every lesbian has fart smells in her whatever. Go ahead.
The reason that I had that thought was because everyone was like, I was a warrior princess.
Yeah.
I was a princess. I was a bride. I'm a smelly monster.
But I'm just saying, like, I never really had that femininity underneath my costumes.
Also, I just want to say for a second, you've had some of the best TV moment costumes because on The View, you went all the way the fuck out. That witch costume was next level. I know that you did some crazy shit on that. So, Raven, you were like the cow.
Okay, that was a character doing a Halloween costume, so I'm not going to claim that, but I understand where
really
you're
good.
Going with.
Can I ask you a question?
Of course.
It's very rare that we get to talk about like the dynamics of press and media from the two different perspectives of like reporters and someone who's on the other side of it.
Yeah. Interesting.
I'm just so curious about your observations throughout the years. Yeah.
Okay.
Like, what is the process like for you of like going through a junket, let's say?
Well, you also were on the other side of it on The View. You were interviewing people.
I did both. I've done both, which is why we made it here. And it's very important, like, as an entertainer who was asked the same question every single time during a junket, I
would black out because I just had my static answer. Right. I was also taught that the news is not a safe place, that I had to practice my answers because if you say the wrong thing, even before social media, I was famous during when the National Enquirer was important. Yeah. You just had to be careful what you said, right? Mm-hmm. And so as social media started to come up, I could not protect myself because of Perez Hilton, because of, you know, there was a blog that was kind of hand to hand with Perez Hilton, but in the black community. Mm-hmm. And I would always find myself on there, but it wasn't quotes. It was how I looked. It was how I did this. So journalism started to change for me, which made me really dislike it because I couldn't choose the picture that I wanted to go into that thing. Then when I started learning how to interview people, it felt very much like a straitjacket because I got a blue card and the publicist told me exactly what I needed to say, and I had to make sure that these questions were answered in a time period, and didn't like it. So when she said she wanted to do a podcast, and I'm like, the only thing that I ask is like,
it has to be fun.
It has to be fun. I have to feel like I'm having a conversation. She asked me right now, and this is, listen, you guys, sometimes you can notice this, sometimes you don't. I don't do a lot of research beforehand. Like, I don't. I like to just like get into the conversation, have a conversation. If you say something cool, let me ask you, because I'm hoping that the people that we have on our podcast, people already know about. I want to know something different about you. Yeah. And I might ask it, but it's not because I worked on it or whatever. It's because, oh, what did you eat today? Like, I care about, that's what I care about. I care about human things.
I want to know, did you actually learn, you said you learned how to interview someone.
Yeah.
So you learned from your producers and... Yeah,
I learned because they took me, you guys, the first time I was on The View, they made me go into this small room with this guy. He's like, I just want you to see a couple of your interviews so we can get you better. I was like... Wrong person, bro.
She don't give a fuck.
Wrong person.
She degaff.
So he literally set me in front of a screen to watch myself. I was like, I never watch myself. He's like, I really need you to see what you're doing incorrectly, what you're doing right, and blah, 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 blah. And I was like, in my head, I was like, this is funny. I'm leaving. I'm literally not going to be here that long. When I got back on stage, I watched and I sat back and I said, oh, it's so formulaic. And that's what he was teaching me. He was teaching me the formula. And the formula is very simple, but it's so boring for someone who's being asked the same question every single time.
Yeah. That's why podcasts are having a moment.
Yes.
Because people are done with the formula. I agree with that.
I still think, though, that there has to be a little bit of a formula, right? Did you have to learn how to talk to people and ask questions? Because we were at something, and I even said to you, Danielle, you asked such a good question, and I feel like you just know how to ask good questions. And that takes intelligence, but
there's
is that
a formula. What's y'all's formula?
So I think that questions can be really intimidating, because what it is an invitation. You're putting yourself out there. And if someone doesn't accept the invitation, it can feel really disheartening. Like you feel silly or dumb. So I actually think it's really vulnerable to ask a question. And the more practice I've gotten at it, the more bold and courageous I feel about doing it. And so I actually really, really understand why people who aren't asking questions every day for a living are so nervous to do it. I do it professionally, and even I get nervous sometimes. And so I do think it's literally just practice. And so if you like tell yourself, and they're the crux of a great conversation, right? Like the most interesting thing is to be interested.
Yes.
1,000%. And so like if you go to a dinner party and you're nervous because you want to be interesting or have a great conversation, all you have to do is ask questions and you're totally good, which you made a great point. It starts by listening. But I do think that you have to kind of feel people, right? Like not all questions are meant for all people.
Yeah.
And so you feel their heart, you feel who they are, you kind of like see what makes them tick. When we were at that dinner, the woman I know who you're talking about, she was really into DEI. And so I learned this from Larry King, who he was my mentor, and he never researched. And I almost cut you off because that is a form of journalism, I think. Yeah. He said, I prepare like a crazy person. And he always said, you do the more Barbara Walters way of preparation. I don't prepare. I don't read a book. And I don't do it to be lazy. I don't do it because I want to ask the questions that the audience wants to know. Mm-hmm. So I think there's two forms of thought equally. They're both like equally valid. It's whatever feels more comfortable to you. But the thing he taught me. So she, if I can like use the exact example, she was in DEI at UTA, I think. Mm-hmm. And so she was talking about her beliefs and her values and what like the work that she's doing. Yes. And Larry King always said, personalize it. And so that's what I did in that situation. Yeah. I said to her, could you ever marry somebody who didn't have those same values? And it makes for a really interesting question. And so the example he gave me was, you know, people on the news constantly talk about abortion. And I know this is like a touchy subject, but for example purposes, go with me. If you say to somebody, like, what are your opinions? What's your stance on abortion? They're going to never, they're never going to give you.
That's a rehearsed answer.
That's a formula.
Yeah, it's a formula.
He said, if you ask a politician, if your daughter was raped, would you drive her to the abortion clinic?
Then they start going like this. Ask me the question. This is exactly what they're going to do. Ask me the question.
Okay.
If I stand strong on abortion. I stand strong. Go ahead and ask me the question.
Okay, if your daughter was raped, would you drive her to the abortion clinic?
I stand strong in abortion. There are listen.
What?
If my daughter had that situation, I'd definitely go to church about it and pray.
Yeah.
Exactly. They get like caught up and they don't know how to, because you can't rehearse that. You can't rehearse it.
Well, also the number one rule of media training is don't answer the question. Just answer the question that you want to answer.
I love that.
That's just the classic dodge. Yeah.
There it is.
We love both that. Share a love of questions and curiosity. I learned early on, Raven, what you were talking about, which is that a lot of journalists only ask the same questions.
Yeah.
And I think it's so insulting to the artists. Like, you clearly didn't take the time to think about a more unique approach. So I really tried to figure out, okay, how do I make this question that I'm asking this actor today sound different from anything else they might hear today? So I think that's a huge part of it.
Yeah.
I think, I actually think questions are a form of exercising power. Like when you're in a conversation with someone, questions are really the roadmap for the conversation. 100%. And if you're the one asking the questions, that means that you're in a position of power. Yeah. So I've become really comfortable with that dynamic.
You're like, really comfortable with a lot of power?
I'm very comfortable with a lot of power.
That's
with
fair.
Just unfettered.
That tracks.
Unfettered power. But I think once you learn that, once you learn that questions can be a powerful way of getting where you want to go in a conversation, it's a huge tool.
One question for you.
Yeah.
Where does your, because you're really passionate about the podcasting space, where does your love of questions come from?
I have always been highly inquisitive and curious. Mm-hmm. And I also really like understanding people. Mm-hmm. And I like knowing what makes someone tick and why they think the way they do. I'm really interested in human motivation, human behavior. I'm good at kind of breaking people down and understanding, but I like to just lean into it and figure people out. And I think that I really like what you said about questions and the vulnerability around it and also the power. Mm-hmm. I struggle with a little bit of both of those things because I'll have moments where I really want to ask something, but I also don't want to offend or upset or insult. And I also want to be interesting and unique and find different ways into certain things because we've been to press junkets and I've even just, you know, when we'll do a carpet, it's always the same questions. It's always, and it's just boring and repetitive and draining.
What brings you out tonight?
Exactly.
The event that brought you out tonight. I should just start getting real.
You
real.
Should say that.
I should start being real.
What was it like working with your coworker, your co-star on this movie?
Exactly. What's it like being here to support Raven tonight? You know what I mean?
It's just like it's always mean.
That's like the only thing that anyone can think to ask.
That's what happens.
You're a whole
partners.
Person, yeah.
right?
You're a whole like
Hey, we have a question for you.
We have a question for you.
Okay,
and it's a pretty powerful one.
Oh, is this like a tea time question or?
Yes.
Okay. Wait. Let me get ready.
I'm wearing a really hot sweater.
Okay. Every time we're with you, we just get hot.
I mean, same way. I was pretty hot with you guys as well.
Okay, so here's our burning question.
Okay.
Will you two please put your hand in that teapot, One hand is only going to fit.
Okay.
And tell us what our tea time topic is today.
I'm so excited.
Would you like to do the honors?
Okay.
Yeah.
I have a small hand.
What are you trying to say?
I love this teapot.
Also, this is a pretty funny. This is just funny.
Okay.
My wife's psychic. More in there, or is it just?
It's a whole bunch in there.
Oh. There's so many. Yeah.
Girl power.
Girl power.
Oh, wow.
Which is maybe the best one ever for us.
Yeah. That's really cool. Let me tell you, my wife is psychic when she comes up with these things.
Yeah, I am a little bit psychic because I do a little bit of research.
Oh, she does
just
research.
Just a little bit.
You're also intuitive.
I am.
She's very
intuitive. I'm all those things.
Thank you.
You guys, what does girl power mean to you?
No, not that question.
What does pride mean to you?
Oh, my God. Oh, gosh.
It's different.
The first thing that I think of when I think of girl power, Spice Girls and then the Powerpuff Girls.
Oh, my God. Yes. Oh.
And the Cheetah Sisters.
I was about to say.
Oh, yeah.
We literally had a song called Girl Power.
Oh, I knew that.
I'm not worried about you. What does girl power mean to you? Oh, I'm over.
I have this theory that kids know exactly who they are when they're like 4, 5, 6 years old. Mm-hmm. And when they tell you what they want to do, it's really where their interests lie. And then like the world kind of talks them out of things. And so I was dressing up as Hillary Clinton and Eleanor Roosevelt for all my book reports.
Oh my gosh.
I was interested in Condoleezza Rice. I was interested in women in power. I did a 6th grade report called Her Story about how history was not written about and for women.
You started that trend?
I don't think I did.
Also,
I copied it from a book.
You guys, I have to interrupt because I dressed up as Harriet Tubman, Martin Luther King.
Miranda.
Wait.
What is with these costumes?
Hold on. Harriet Tubman, Martin Luther King, and then Louis Pasteur. Those were my...
You're amazing.
Just what's happening?
No, she really wanted to be invited to the cookout from a very young age. From a young age.
No, I don't know. I'm having like really such a moment thinking back on myself in like literally 3rd grade coming in as Harriet Tubman.
Did you wear makeup? Did you put on that face?
I wasn't allowed.
Okay, just making sure. So like, you just wore an afro and cornrows?
It wasn't an afro, babes. I wore like
a bonnet.
A bonnet.
Mm. Wow, this is radical.
We'll unpack that later.
Yeah, this is radical. Wow.
So back to you.
I'm so sorry.
I think there's something there.
Yeah, she married a black person.
But I really though.
I'm listening to you talk about like what it might mean, and I'm sitting here in my head thinking, what the fuck did it mean that I came as Harriet Tubman, Martin Luther King wanted to be Al Roker? Like, what does that mean?
Maybe you were curious about the black community, or like you could have had really awesome parents who like taught you about more things than like a usual white house.
Well, that is true.
This is very true.
I didn't grow up in a white house. So,
well, you did, but they were very open in culture and they, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's
anyhow.
Super cool. So yeah, I say that all to say I think it's driven my life. It's the lens through which I see the world. I see it through the lens of gender always.
Yes.
It's like the first when I read a news article, the lens through which I read it is through gender.
Oh, that makes sense. I mean,
that makes sense.
That's why you are the way you are. That's why you've done so well in your profession right now. And I'm sure as you move forward in your career, the young ladies will be dressing up like you.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Raven.
I know. Love that.
Better hair choices for sure than what you had.
Oh my gosh.
But we're just saying, better hair choices. Girl power to
me. Girl power to me is sisterhood.
Okay. It's... Of the traveling pants or shorts?
No traveling, no pants. Maybe a little traveling. Definitely pants while we travel. Yeah.
Definitely pants.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a biker short.
I love a biker short.
She loves
a biker short. I love a biker short.
We talk about, like, can you wear a biker short to work?
No. I do it.
I mean, the Kardashians try.
You can. Yeah.
Can you? I wear crop tops. I'm like, is that okay?
Yeah, you can do that. You got at your work.
We're millennial podcast hosts, okay?
Yeah.
You can do it.
Girl power is sisterhood. Girl power is my girlfriend surprising me at our live podcast taping.
Aww.
I had no idea that she was coming. So that kind of support.
Yeah.
Girl power is staying by your friend's side in the hospital, you know, whenever she's experiencing a potential miscarriage and not leaving her side.
There you go.
Girl power is putting your friend up for an opportunity. You know, mm-hmm. girl power is speaking someone's name in a room that they're not in.
Oh,
girl
that's
power,
major girl power.
That's major.
That's major. That is major.
Yeah.
And I feel excited. I feel energized because I do feel like, you know, as women in this industry, we're now in a time where I can go to an event and I can meet new girls and they're friendly and they're nice and they're warm. And yes. It's not the...
Do you feel the difference?
We're standing across the room. We all know each other. I know you know me and you know that I know you. Yeah. And we all know each other, but we're not saying anything. I think we're moving past that. And it's really refreshing. So.
I will say that I was a catalyst of that. I am the resting bitch face in the corner staring down all these bitches. I do that. And it's not because I'm mad. It's just because I have other shit going on in my head. But I do feel like I do come from that time where clicky, clickety clicks sit in different corners. Yeah. I mean, I was in the same rooms with Paris Hilton and Lindsay at that time.
Yeah.
So, and I'm over here and like eating my Sour Patch Kids. And looking
wearing monster costumes
and looking at these girls like, ugh.
Yeah.
How much baby pink can you put on in one outfit? So I was a hater, but at the same time for a reason, because that just wasn't my clique. But you're right. There is a change to where it's like, I'll go say hi to you now. Hey,
yes.
How are you?
Yes.
I think the lines have blurred in a way where cliques we know is a type of bullying.
Mm-hmm.
It's a type
of
bullying that's no longer. Sorry.
But that's interesting.
Been,
it is.
It's a type of bullying.
It is. Yeah.
And girls and women not supporting each other has always been so confusing to me because... we can be so mean to each other and so competitive and you just don't have to be. I think there's room enough for everyone. And this is kind of a little off topic, but that time too, I recently saw Kate Winslet speaking about the bullying that she encountered and the harassment and how she recently saw a journalist who had been bullying her, and she confronted them and basically said, you know, you caused such a massive amount of pain. And she did it and confronted that person, not, she said, not just for herself and what she was being criticized for constantly, which was her body, and in such a nasty way. Mm-hmm. If only she had more, you know, a little bit more fabric, things would have looked better, blah, blah, blah. And she said that she did it for everyone else who had experienced that. And it made me think of you when I was listening to her. And I just really am hopeful that we have now come through that, and that women are actually supporting women and finding power in doing that.
Yeah.
Speaking someone's name who's not there, being encouraging,
trying to
lift each other up, see that there is enough room for everyone at the table is amazing.
You know what? As you were talking, a theory came into my mind. Did this shift happen because of Me Too?
I'm going to say Michelle. I'm going to say there was like this... Michelle Obama power for me.
Wow.
That made white women, black women, and all of their little daughters look, that's a strong woman standing next to her man doing powerful girl power things. And I think it made us feel a little bit more connected. In contrast to, you can cut this out if you want to, a Hillary who stood by a cheater.
But there's power in that, too, to be honest.
Yeah, but not in every culture. You know what I mean? Like, I remember that conversation. Well, I'd have been left him. You know what I mean? There was always that conversation. But I think there was, I think Me Too, yes. But I think
Me
it started.
Too for sure.
I think it started a little bit more with Michelle. I think she did something to us.
I've never heard anyone say that. I have to reflect on it. I do think that cultural and like political pop culture images are so powerful. I do think, as much as I hate to say this, I think celebrity culture had a lot to do with it. I think the Hollywood starlets of our time came together and started shifting the way that they spoke about each other, giving each other opportunities and talking about it, talking about pay transparency. And then all of a sudden, the stories on screen reflected that.
Very
like.
True.
And then we're all watching these TV shows and movies, and the rhetoric we're hearing is so different. Like, I actually feel really lucky to have kind of like grown up around this time because our mom's generation, they didn't get that at all.
Yeah. Shout outs to Reese because
she was a huge leader in that.
Part of that movement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so true. And making sure that content reflected strong women, mm-hmm. even thinking of Wild, or I'm trying to mm-hmm. now think of like yeah. shows that maybe I was watching where there were strong female leads that were doing things differently. Mm-hmm. And I think that like the first show that comes into my mind, and not that it really was a full representation of that, is like Gilmore Girls, and sitting yes. into just something where there are smart females that are steering the ship, as opposed to what we were inundated with before, which was kind of just like women being bimbos and passive. Just there.
Well, y'all speak for yourselves. We had a Living Single. We were on a podcast. I don't know what y'all had, but I watched strong black women on television shows, and the mamas on Family Matters. They weren't playing around.
Oh,
okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Need to be 100.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, I think also there's this interesting girl power conversation when it comes to understanding a little bit, and it's not the whole way through, so just bear with me, right? We didn't start the narrative of she's a liar and she's a this, she's a that. Mm-hmm. That's kind of seeped through to us because of the men.
Totally.
Because of what the men sure. have done mm-hmm. and what they put out there, because just recently in the scheme of life, of the human life, women just started coming into power when it comes to networks and things of that nature.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
So that narrative that was put out there in pop culture and policy, that was because of the man and how that man felt about his wife, and they weren't allowed at the book club, so they're like probably chatty. Oh, chatty Kathy. And then the women take that on because they want to please the man.
Yeah.
Whatever happened back in the 50s and 40s, I don't know.
That's
the
old ball and chain. That's the feeling so, you know, ugh, my wife, this, that. That narrative, I hate that. I hate people who are promoting this conversation around marriage is the worst because of the wife that locks you down. It's like, no, it's a fucking privilege to have a wife, and it's a fucking privilege to be married, and to find someone that you decide that you love enough, respect enough, that you're going to choose to grow a life with. Like, that is, why don't we normalize that? And that is a very male,
it's a male dominant narrative,
and it's yucky.
And we have, go ahead.
Just that marriage has bad PR right now. I'm not sure why or where that came from, but there are so many benefits and beautiful parts of marriage that I think should be celebrated more often.
Most definitely.
100%.
Yeah.
And then you also, like, if we really do look through the history of girl power, Diana, Princess Diana, honey, she shook up a whole kingdom.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Brought women together.
Oh, I mean, the entire great female queen monarchy.
But there's a difference between the monarchy and Diana.
She was she was on the outside.
She was on the outside.
Yeah.
She's the one who shook it up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She did that. Jackie
Onassis? Yep.
Jackie Onassis. She came through, fashion icon.
Mm-hmm.
Then these women started finding their niche, right? Mm-hmm. You had the... I'm a cook something.
Julia Child.
Julia Child.
Julia Child.
But you had these.
Martha.
For
being
said,
Black
Martha.
Julia Child, by the way. She's, I'm going to cook something.
She's trying to do Pasadena out here and sounds like a real Southern grandma.
You guys, don't judge me right now.
Martha Stewart, though. Martha Stewart was totally. I mean,
and
shout out to Martha.
Yeah.
Shout out to Martha.
Yeah.
And
she
Oprah.
Went through a lot of shit.
You
yeah.
really did have these women who leaned on their men for a little bit, but then found their own power.
Mm-hmm.
And then in turn mm-hmm. gave other women the power. And it really is about stepping outside and asking those questions like you talked about earlier. Mm-hmm. It's about saying the names in the room. It's about really having the strength in yourself mm-hmm. to go up against the person who has the microphone and scream a little bit louder.
Well, yes. It really is.
Yeah.
I also think we have to give ourselves a little bit of grace because we did internalize all of these arbitrary, false, competitive narratives that were imposed upon us. Mm-hmm. And I will be the first to admit that in my 20s, I did feel competitive with my peers. I did feel jealous and insecure.
Mm-hmm.
And thankfully, I realized that that did not serve me in any way, and it's totally toxic. But what's exciting about this moment right now is we get to decide what power looks like for us. Mm-hmm. Power doesn't have to be the same way it has been for men. It doesn't have to look like that for women. You know? Like, we can define what power is in a feminine way.
Yeah.
I have a question for you about something you said a few minutes ago. Mm. With the Paris Hilton, and I don't mean to call her out, but like the whole clique
thing. Yeah, that was a clique.
She plagued my childhood, and I actually...
Not plagued.
Plagued. Plagued. Personally I've always adopted. Said, no, I really have always wanted to interview her, mostly so that I can confront her.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. About what she did to me. I think she's a really smart person, and I want to know if she has any reflections now about pretending to be dumb. I think she like set a whole generation of girls back after she women did. Had fought so hard to have credit cards and buy houses and be smart and have different opportunities for jobs. Anyways,
I fully agree.
Thank you. I think that I can only like think of myself in that I'm such a mainstream type of person. And when I look at like a Nicole Richie, Lindsay Lohan, Paris Hilton who plagued my childhood, all my friends thought that was it. Mm-hmm. And I never felt that way. But like I did try to be thin. I did try to dress boho chic the way that they were. Like I just tried so hard. Mm-hmm. And you never gave a fuck.
Didn't I tell you I don't give a fuck?
But I'm wondering how did you avoid it when that was also part of the job? Like I was just watching it on TV. You were in the same room.
Yeah. Goodness gracious, girl. I haven't really fully figured it out. But I mean, you chilled with me at that party. We've not really chilled like we chilled, but I turn off. I kind of turn off. I'm not the same when the camera comes on. And I know that I can't be the only one in this world that does that. Mm-hmm. So I cannot reach for something that's fake. I will always fail. I also, again, never had the body type. I tried as well. As soon as I would put something on, the people around me, you're too fat. Take that off. Okay, cool. Thank you. You're white with long hair. And super skinny, and I wasn't cool with people like that. I was cool with white people, but not like I love all people. But that world at that time, which was like you had to look just like that and aspire to something that I can never attain, I'm not about to put myself through that stress. Mm-hmm. The only part of it that I did was the weight part.
I was gonna say, you definitely suffered and struggled within that, but you also, I think a little bit of Raven's superpower is your wisdom and your ability to kind of shrug things off.
Well, also because I knew that what they were doing was fake.
Right.
And it was, that's just, it's impossible, especially if that's not who you are. So thank you, because I witnessed it, and also I'm the girl in the party on the wall, mean mugging everybody, because I know at the end of the day, my real friends are in the streets. Like, they're not actually on the camera. And yeah. They'll ride for me.
They're all dudes who are,
they're
like,
all dudes. They'll
out.
All ride yeah. for me before these bitches will in a heartbeat. Mm-hmm. Like, they don't even know that when you get into a parking lot, you got to back in just in case you need to get out quick. Mm-hmm. They're over here getting drunk as all get out. Don't look at the camera. Then go out the back, bitch. Like, don't you know how to ride here?
I think that's what people also don't really know about me, that I kind of grew up with people that taught me other things.
Mm-hmm. And so, yeah.
And it's also wild, what you're essentially saying is how many masks people wear.
Yeah.
And what we think we know of people mm-hmm. in the public is so often created. It's an illusion.
It's branded.
It's branded. Mm-hmm. It's created. Yeah. It's not real. And then people get really disappointed when they happen to actually meet the person that they've been fantasizing about, or they put on this pedestal, or they think is this character they fell in love with on television. Mm-hmm. And then it's kind of like, oh, she was such a bitch. Well, it's like, yeah, because she's not that person at
she's
all.
She's not working. She's
right.
not on
and she's
right
just
now.
Trying to eat, yeah. you know? And like, and we have, it's wild to me how people don't seem to have critical thinking. Mm-hmm. Outside of, it's hard when you're a kid, though. It's hard when you're a kid and you're looking at image and you're just absorbing.
You think it's the same thing. And I think that's why I was friends with people in the music industry. A lot of people in the music industry are not as fake as people.
They degaff.
But
and they're actually more dark. Skateboarding. Yeah. Like, skateboarders, in my, like, if I'm stereotyping skateboarders, mm-hmm. they become skateboarders because they're kind of like outside the norm of society, yes. right? Yes. And so they're like the rebels. Mm-hmm. And I think it's the same.
I think it's the same with music.
Yeah.
You can see some amazing artists in the music industry. And then when you get into the
acting world or a little bit into the popularity world, it's like you guys are cookie cutters.
So there's more acceptance of unique and quirky in that world.
In that world.
Have you ever seen actors use lines in real life from camera?
Hilarious.
No.
Just Jaleel White. He said he did do that.
He did.
He was messing with you.
Yeah, he was messing with you.
Have you?
Sounds like you're speaking from personal experience.
No, yes, I've always been curious. I've always been curious because I think, especially if you play a TV character where you're like week after week, especially if you're a guy, like how could you not use some of the lines on a girl?
That's fair.
Oh my God, I'm sure.
I don't know.
I'm sure Ryan Gosling did. Like, I'm sure.
Right?
And you know what's funny?
Are you going to use something from Lars and the Real Girl?
No, babes. Probably one of his other heartthrobbing, like La La Land
like Kin,
or whatever.
Like Kin?
Yeah, that'll be like your most obscure line from your, your indie darling and see how that plays at the club. He's I want to hear it.
I'm watching.
You're not plastic.
Let's go. I got my popcorn.
It is interesting to me when I have been around certain actors and I realize that they are their character. And then you see them. You see them everywhere. Like, it's really interesting with Tony Shalhoub, for example. Mm-hmm. So his daughter is my best friend. And Tony, in so many moments of my life, I'm like, this is Monk. Like, Monk is driving me to school right now. And it's just, but it's hard not to, right? Because he creates that character out of his own neuroses or his own physical movement.
Succeeded.
But that's also you.
But that's why that's why certain shows succeed. Seinfeld. He was just playing himself.
Yeah, this is so
you
true.
Know what I mean, like Al Pacino. All of his movies, he probably just plays himself.
Pacino does for sure. Yeah, for sure. True.
Wait, can I bring up a Raven Flowers moment?
Okay.
Did you?
I have them on the wall already, so don't worry.
More. We need more.
Did you flowers. See?
Oh, you're right.
That Zendaya said some very kind and flattering words about you, about your career, about your contribution to comedy. She essentially, there was this snippet from an article, an interview with her that has been going around, and she said that she credits you for a lot of her physical comedy and mannerisms. Mm-hmm, and I know I said this when you were on our show, but I got to keep the record straight. I want to make sure everybody knows, like, how tight your legacy is.
Oh, thank you, Fran.
Yeah.
I did see that and I appreciate it. Thank you, Zendaya. I didn't reach out, but I said thank you through the vibrations. And listen, Disney Channel alum for sure.
Oh yeah.
I was on her show and I was able to dress up like one of doing a male character with her, and it was interesting because I sometimes was like, oh, you watched my show, didn't you?
You could tell.
Yeah, when we were standing side by side doing that comedy moment, I was like, oh, thank you, I appreciate that. She's fantastic in what she does, and it feels good to know that you can move forward in this industry from Disney Channel in a classy, chic, and high-end way.
Yeah.
In a high-end way. And she's, talk about girl power. She's over here saying no to brands because they didn't want to dress her before she was Zendaya. Now, Zendaya, girl, no one would dress me ever. So if anyone wanted to dress me, I'll say yes now. I was too fat back in the day. They wouldn't dress me. I was too big. And also, I only catered to kids. So I would go to the same people that the twins. Ashley and Mary Kate would go to.
Oh, man.
And they were like, well, they actually would sell our clothes. You won't. And I'm like, okay, cool. So I bought all my wardrobe back in the day. Never gifted.
Wow. You bought your whole wardrobe? Do you have them in the archives?
I have to sell. I can't do everything, but like a lot of that stuff.
Wow.
Because
I was never gifted. Not on the show.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
No, so like red carpets and stuff.
She was doing so much. Like,
yeah.
I did a lot of work, and
that's crazy.
I was not the right size to be gifted things. No one thought I would sell anything. So it's just, I'm proud of her moving forward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Things would be different now, I think.
Well, it's too late. I'm an old ass bitch. I'm ready to go. We're doing podcasts now. It's
now
different.
We do
ready
podcasts.
To go. Just getting started.
It's crazy, though, how much it's shifted because there's so much trauma that no one really talks about or knows. There's
I'm writing
a
book.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Oh, right. I remember that.
You remember.
Oh, are you writing one?
Yeah, I'm writing a book.
Let's toast.
Cheers to that.
To girl power.
To girl power. Okay. Today we are toasting to Maria Paraskeva.
Okay, Paraskeva.
a bride from Cypress, California.
Whoa. Your Halloween costume?
Yep. Who achieved her goal, which was to create the longest wedding veil ever.
Let me guess.
Go ahead.
3 miles.
Whoa. No.
Okay, you want to guess?
Is it over or under?
I think over. I don't know.
She doesn't count.
It's not put. I don't do mental math. It's not in miles. All I can tell you is this. It was 23,000 feet, which is the same as 63.5 football fields. So that's maybe a longer, lot of miles.
That's what? Longer than three. Wait, hold on.
And she made
Get
it?
Get the calculator. Let me see this.
Wow.
Is it woven?
She like connected veil after veil after veil. And now she's in the Guinness World. She just
23,000 feet.
Is how many miles? I don't know.
But why?
So she can get in the Guinness Book of World Records. Yeah, this is my problem
about
that.
That's what she wanted.
You literally can come up with anything to get into that book.
Right.
Yes, you can.
Literally.
Just find something that hasn't been done.
I'm going to eat 5 lipsticks and say, Guinness, I'm going to eat 5 lipsticks. Can I be in the book?
Someone's probably eaten more.
This is probably true.
So, yeah.
Ladies.
Just saying.
Yes.
You've already gotten married.
I have, yes.
What did you wear for your wedding?
I've never seen your wedding photos. Do you have them?
I do, yeah. I'll show you them.
On your phone? Can we see?
It was like I got married 13 years ago, so I have to like go through and
you were 13 years of
content. You were on a sidekick then.
Yeah.
Oh, what? A sidekick?
Hilarious.
She was playing Snake.
Yeah. BBM. I know. I get it, guys. I told you I was a child bride, okay?
But by your choice.
Yeah, by your choice.
That's my choice. It was not an arranged marriage.
Yeah.
My wedding was so dreamy. We got married at this like historic estate in Miami. Mm-hmm. I grew up in Miami and it was just like lush and tropical and beautiful. And I wore this like kind of sexy, like really form-fitting mermaid gown because dresses were all the thing. That's one thing about weddings, y'all, is like, I don't know if you guys feel the same way. Like, you look back at things that you chose and you're like, now with hindsight, I'm like, ooh, I probably wouldn't have put my bridesmaids in Tiffany green or Tiffany blue.
Tiffany blue.
And then because I'm such a theater nerd, I turned our reception into a Phantom of the Opera masquerade.
Oh, my God.
And made everyone wear the.
I kind of am in love with that.
Hilarious. I love that.
I'm in That's love amazing. With that.
Yeah.
Okay,
but it was magical.
Dream wedding.
Yeah.
Don't want one.
Okay.
No wedding?
No. Don't. I feel like it's going to cause a fight between me and my mother. And unless I marry somebody who happens to have an exorbitant amount of money where it's like, okay, it's just a fun party, I'd rather go like travel, see the world, buy a house.
This is big.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't know this about you.
A real hot take is I don't care about an engagement ring. And when I say that.
I love you.
I want to see it when it gets down to the wire. I want to see this in action.
This is what every woman that I tell that to says, okay, until you become an engaged girl and then you care. So I will report back, hopefully.
Okay. I got you, girl. You're not going to care.
Thank you.
You're not going to care.
So you're just going to walk around just bare ring finger.
I don't care. I mean, if I do have one, I want it to be like a cool artistic piece, like not like a
everyday.
I agree. I got tatted so that in case I don't wear my ring, I can't get in too much trouble.
I love that.
She doesn't agree.
No, I don't.
Really? If we could redo our wedding, what would you wear?
Oh.
How long would your train be? The size of Texas?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Cool.
Here's the deal.
4 miles.
When we had, four whole fucking miles, which then you'd have to walk and you'd be miserable. I wish now, after having our wedding, that we did have the opportunity to do it up more.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
really?
Because I never was that girl, ever. Ever.
Wait, you did dress up as a bride for a few years for Halloween.
Yeah, this is what I'm saying.
But
Simone,
I know,
I mean.
But I think that like my parents put me in that to start.
Don't blame it on your parents now. Don't blame it on your parents.
Because
we
gotta
unpack that.
It never was a thing that I was like, oh, I see myself getting married. You know, like little girls will imagine that. I didn't. I dressed up as the bride for whatever reason it was, but truthfully, I never envisioned it. And then when it came down to our wedding, I was like, I don't care. I just want to get married to you. But now, post-wedding, I kind of look at women trying their dresses on during Love is Blind, and I'm like, oh, I wish I could try a dress. Like, I just want to know what it feels like to be in that gown.
Would you ever
fancy.
Do it?
I totally would do it. I would just go try dresses on. Maybe not even buy one. Just try them on.
That feels safer.
Halloween is right around the corner.
You guys, it's like a year away.
I'm taking her to get Halloween costume at the bridal.
You should, like, but Vera Wang.
Oh yeah,
literally
Vera Wang for
that's
Halloween.
That's what we're going for Halloween: a bride and groom, and in front of every house, I'm just gonna bend down on my knee and propose.
That's
we
funny.
She told our proposal story on a podcast that we did recently, and you could see this guy listening to Raven say, like, "Well, I didn't get down on a knee because I was wearing Gucci, and I da 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 da," and he was he was like, "Wait, you don't like regret that? You don't have?" And I was like, "She's not sentimental, and she don't give a fuck." So no, there's like, stop asking these questions. It was hilarious. But
Quinn is very mad.
Up.
You guys,
what happened to girl power, Quinn?
When do you feel your most powerful?
Well, that's a great question.
I love that question. Thanks for asking that.
You're welcome.
I'm gonna think about that for a minute.
My answer is so weird.
Okay,
it is right when I get out of the ocean.
Yes. Yeah. I'm part of your world.
Yes.
It's giving Little Mermaid. It's giving Baywatch. I don't know.
It's giving waves crashing behind
there
you.
There is
energy,
something
force,
about water. Yeah. Like mm-hmm. when I was a little girl, maybe it would be like the shower. But the ocean, I just mm-hmm. feel like no makeup, no hair, none of the things. I feel like natural and pretty and happy.
Mm, yes, nice. I love to that. Yes to that. I think my answer changes, but right now I feel most powerful when I'm in my office. Ooh. It's this like really soothing color of blue. Mm. And I just love it in there because it's quiet. It's like my sacred space. And when I'm reading, when I'm like a mad woman, just like learning stuff. Like I like to get into my mad woman energy.
Give me information. You know, like,
put it in my brain. That's when I feel most powerful, is when I'm learning.
Wow.
I love that.
Babes, you want to meet it or are you? I'll go last.
You're going to go last?
Yeah.
I, similar to you, think that it changes for me, but I definitely feel powerful when I'm driving and I just am like, it's like me in the road. I don't know. There's something really powerful about that. And feel like I can see you laughing in
I
my peripheral vision.
So
in traffic or out of traffic?
We're here with
Does
you.
It matter?
We're here with you.
Thank you.
I love her so much. Definitely not in traffic. Like I have to be moving at a good speed. Like like if I'm going like 20 miles an hour, I don't feel powerful.
It's not
I feel
vibe-y.
Pissed. Yeah, it's not a vibe. It needs to be like open road, 65 or more. And it's just maybe a good song on. It's just powerful.
Mm. I love that.
What's
just
the song,
roar
though?
Of the engine. Ooh.
Don't make her do that.
I need the song.
It's such a hard thing to do.
That is really a hard one.
You get three.
She feels powerful. She's asking questions.
Ah!
Wow.
Aha! She's on to me.
We're going into vulnerable places. I don't know. It would have to be some kind of rap song.
Okay.
Which also tracks based on this conversation.
Oh, shit. Next, just go.
You guys have been thinking about this for this whole table. And I just want to close off our session saying, I feel most powerful right before I climax.
Right before.
Right, that one.
Not
little,
during.
No, no, no. It's the moment.
No, because right after, she's crying like a little baby. So thank you for coming on to tea time.
Are you crying, Raven?
We can't end that so
breaking
cute.
News.
I love
Listen,
that.
You guys, it's right before. It's that moment, and then it's gone. Oh, damn. It's like that long.
It's fleeting.
The edge.
Yeah.
It's a thing. It's called edging.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say, I feel most powerful next to Morant.
In bed. Horizontal.
Guys, thank you so much for coming to tea time.
Thank you.
You've been absolutely wonderful.
I feel so powerful.
Yeah.
We're all really powerful. Here's to our girl power.
Yes.
Thanks, guys.